National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with the president of Catholic Relief Services, Dr. Carolyn Wu. They'll be discussing how CRS is providing aid to persecuted Christians. In the second half of our show, Elena Rodriguez talks with Father Maurice Emilou about his new EWTN television show, Word for the Wounded World. It's all about the church in Africa. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register, and our program producer, Elena Rodriguez. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest today, Dr. Carolyn Y. Wu, is the president and CEO of Catholic Relief Services, the official international humanitarian agency of the Catholic community in the United States. Before coming to CRS in 2012, Dr. Wu served as dean of the University of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. She also currently serves on the International Policy Committee of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and we're honored to have her with us today on Register Radio.
Thank you very much.
Now, Carolyn, a number of Register stories this summer have reported on Catholic Relief Services' work in the Middle East during this time of crisis there. Can you give us an update on the organization's work in Gaza, Iraq, and Syria?
Of course. So first thing on Gaza is we've been working in Gaza for a while. And when the bombing began, we had to close our office, but our staff was still there. Every time there was a truce, our staff would come up and begin distributing food and non-food items. We're now back to operations again, and there's need for both food. Non-food items would include cooking supplies, propane gas, gas stoves, and also other type of daily provisions. We are actually scheduling a trip, our bishops and our staff, to Gaza in the near future.
Oh, great.
And then the next part is Iraq, particularly Erbil. We actually stood up an office in Erbil in around, 6 weeks ago or so, maybe 2 months now, because these issues were already developing. We have an office and we work very closely with Caritas Iraq. So sometimes people say, how do you make sure that we're helping people and helping Christians or managing our money well? It's because wherever we work with our church partners. And Caritas Iraq had a setback because they had offices and supplies in the Nineveh Plain area, and that was taken over by ISIS.
Right.
And so some of our partner staff actually in Iraq have become displaced refugees.
Wow.
And so they need to regroup, and we work together in this type of work. And we will be going there, too, very soon. So our staff is there, very active. We're distributing supplies already. And we are very grateful, by the way, for all of the prayer services which have been offered for peace in the Middle East, and particularly to the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And finally, Syrian refugees. We have been serving Syrian refugees now for 3 years. They just grow in number, but we just stay with them as much as we can. A lot of these refugees now, of course, are outside of Syria. American organizations are not allowed to be in Syria itself.
Wow.
But the church is active within Syria and doing a lot. So CRS's role there is really to support our partners, to do capacity training, and to offer them whatever resources we can.
Now, the Iraqi Christians have complained, and you mentioned this, they've complained about foreign aid not reaching them because of some of the problems with the people who usually serve them being displaced themselves. Iraqi church leaders have called for donations to be given to trusted organizations, and certainly CRS is one of those organizations. How can people follow what CRS is doing for the persecuted peoples?
So, with respect to how do you give your money, and the key is, the bishops are right, to give it to the Catholic organization. So there is Catholic Relief Services, sometimes there's CNEWA. And so because we work directly with Caritas of Iraq, which is the church, right? Caritas belongs to the local church. And so the money and the programming goes directly through that channel.
Okay.
We do not, for example, get our money through government that is passed through different bureaucracies inside Iraq.
Okay.
And sometimes that would take up time. And so our funding goes directly and very rapidly when we receive the donations. We ourselves have been also using our discretionary funds to send it into the field as soon as possible. And with us, that's not the delay to the extent that when our partners are ready, we are ready. And we actually did not want to move ahead of our partners. We did not want CRS to be out there before our partners can join us, because in the end, we want it to be known as the work of Caritas, the local church. We're doing a lot for persecuted people. There are probably four different type of work. The first one is, of course, you see these refugees and these displaced people. So, you know, I think Gaza, the Syrian refugees, the Iraqis, that gives you a picture of they've lost everything. They have no homes. They have no food, no supplies. So there's a set of work which is done to meet those very immediate needs. The second type of work we do is advocacy, and that is working closely with different government agencies, the church, to make our voice known to save, you know, peace must reign. We must have ways to deal with this or stop this. This particular problem is getting out of control. So the second thing, which is very important to do because we cannot stop a war, is to be part of the church as a part of the Vatican. The Pope also issued a statement. It's then for us to make sure that the church point of view is known by the government. The third type of work that we do is how do you build up the local community's capacity to deal with these issues? So, for example, how do you help local communities not only to have these supplies, but, you know, how would they make a living? Are there ways that we could put them into employment right away? So there's these things called cash for work. So like in Gaza, a lot of the rebuilding, we actually use our money as to pay people to do the rebuilding so that they would have a job and the communities will have some rebuilt infrastructures. But we also help local communities, for example, to do peace building. So in Central Africa Republic, when there was eruptions, we funded peace building work between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church and also with the imams, the Muslims, to build a platform for interfaith dialogue, interfaith collaboration, and use that platform to engage youth, because sometimes the unrest is caused by youth who are unguided and they have time on their hands and they're unemployed. So that's another thing we do. We help to rebuild local communities, livelihood options, infrastructure. We help build the peace building, interfaith dialogue, because peace is critical. So that's the third type of work that we do. So we do a lot of education and communication to the U.S. community, for example, so that the U.S., the people in the pews are educated and informed about these problems so that they don't just close their eyes to it. So those are the four things we do for persecuted people.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Dr. Carolyn Wu, President and CEO of Catholic Relief Services. You spoke about the youth and the unrest that can happen when youth are unemployed, et cetera. Well, that's something that Pope Francis has spoken about. You know, Pope Francis has called us to go out to the peripheries of society and to serve those who are marginalized. CRS is certainly doing that, including the work with the youth. The Pope has also said that the church mustn't become simply another non-government organization, but that faith needs to augment the humanitarian aid. How does CRS heed that warning that the Pope has for Catholic organizations to really remain Catholic?
Oh, absolutely. In terms of the church must not just be another humanitarian agency, and in fact, it's not just Pope Francis. Pope Benedict also talked a lot about it. In fact, in his Deus Caritas Est, he had a full section of what does it mean. And what it means is that it's the love of God that we bring to people. It calls us to look at the other person, not just, you know, somebody who needs help, but that this is someone who is made by God. This is someone whom God dwells in. I mean, God located himself in these individuals. He said, I am these brothers and sisters in Matthew. And we feel that God entrusted these people to us. And so our accountability is not just to donors or beneficiaries. In the end, we answer to God in terms of whether we have taken care of the people he sent to us. And that the type of service that we provide is not just to give food or just give stoves and to give things. our role is, in the end, through our service, hold up the dignity of the individual. What does dignity require? How should they be treated? What type of capacities do they need so that they could be independent, so that they could have a sense of worth? How do we enable people to reach their potential? And also, the faith aspect calls us to go to the most vulnerable and the poorest. And CRS tends to focus on those individuals. And finally, that we are called to serve everyone and that love has no condition. And so there's more I could go into it in terms of our programming approach and so on. But the difference for us is that we go out there because it's not just our own impulse. God located himself in the people we are serving. God sent those people to us. God sent us to them. It is by the power of God and the Holy Spirit, not just our power, where this work is done. And what we bring ultimately is really love. And as Pope Benedict said, whenever there is love, you see the Trinity. That's our job, and that's the difference.
Very good. Well, Dr. Wu, thank you so much for being with us on Register Radio. Our listeners can go to www.crs.org and follow all the places that CRS is serving. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. Thank you very much.
When we return, we'll talk with Father Maurice Emilu about the Church in Africa. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
I'm Brian Patrick, and here at EWTN News Nightly, we're very much aware our world is changing rapidly. The news can be so troubling, but it helps to get it in the context of Catholic teaching. That's why I encourage you to watch EWTN News Nightly and to subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register. Always faithful, in-depth coverage of crucial issues like religious freedom, the sanctity of all human life, traditional marriage, and Pope Francis, his travels, his powerful homilies, and great features like one of my favorites on St. Joseph, provider and protector. Subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register and watch EWTN News Nightly, the perfect combination for faithful Catholics who want the news, who want the truth.
For a free 3-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 3 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Elena Rodriguez, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Father Maurice Emilu, is the founder and chair of Gratia Vobis Ministries, Incorporated. He is a priest of the Catholic Diocese of Orlu in the southeast of Nigeria. Father Maurice is a renowned Catholic speaker and retreat preacher. He's also the host of 2 TV shows here on EWTN, The Faith with Father Maurice, and his new series, Word for a Wounded World. He's also a journalist and an independent African content producer for television. Father Maurice is the producer of Echoes from Africa. He's currently working on a 12-part film documentary series on the Church in Africa, which is a first attempt to present a robust film production of faith and life in Africa, covering a span of over 2,000 years.
Thank you, Tom. Here on Register Radio, we frequently have guests from around the world, and they help us better understand the universality of the Catholic Church and trying to bring reconciliation in the midst of brokenness. Father Maurice Emilu, we know you have a new book, freshly released, Word for a Wounded World, Volume 1. Is there any hope in this wounded world that any word may heal those wounds? And I'm specifically referring to a reconciliation in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. What do you think?
Yes, there is hope. You know, Jesus is our hope, and he has given us the ultimate reconciliation when he reconciled us with God, and has also commanded us to be agents of his reconciliation. But we have to do this by understanding some principles that help this reconciliation process. First of all, the ability to forgive one another. Without forgiveness, we may not begin. Secondly, the appreciation of the fact that each person is unique and show more empathy to realize that people have different backgrounds that shape what they do. But that does not mean tolerate evil, but it means being a little bit more tolerant of the person. Thirdly, as a brother, as a sister, you know, in homes, don't we reconcile with our brothers and sisters? We do so. So there is hope, but we need to facilitate the process by being agents of reconciliation ourselves.
So in other words, Father, you mean love the sinner, hate the sin?
Absolutely correct. Love the sinner, but hate the sin that brings division and much pain in our world today.
And Father, I have also read some of the news stories about you and your work in Africa. You talk about the term reaching out to the existential periphery. What do you mean by that term?
That term belongs to Pope Francis when he was talking about the church and believers reaching out to existential periphery. The Pope meant that we have to reach out to those who are in the physical suburbs where people lack basic amenities, people are marginalized, or they are deprived of the opportunity to be the best they can, or they have less opportunities. But more importantly, because it's not just about the physical suburbs, more importantly, it's about the mental periphery of desperation. You know, many people today, even though they live in wealthy neighborhoods, they have so much money or they have good homes, yet they lack a sense of value and meaning to life. That can be depressing. Such people can be said to be spiritually in periphery situation. We need to reach out to those too, because they are hurting.
Yes.
We have high rate of suicide today, more depression. Many more people in our generation are on antidepressant. They need the word of God, the word of love, the word of hope, the word of healing that can draw them to the true meaning of life. Because life with meaning is life that is enjoyable. Life without meaning is the most despicable and hopeless you can ever live.
Yes.
So we need to share the message of hope to the people in such situations. And that's precisely what I had in mind when I borrowed that concept of Pope Francis. And my show, when I went to Africa to record it and to reach out to some of those in the suburbs, that's also what I had in mind. But then in reaching out to the Western world too, the content is shaped for that kind of existential periphery situation.
Yes, I like the way you emphasize the term hope. That is beautiful. In case you're just tuning in, this is Register Radio, and our guest is Father Maurice Emelu, a Catholic priest from Orlu in the Diocese of Nigeria. And we are talking about the power of the word to heal the wounded world. And with that in mind, Father, we know that your book was very recently released, Word for a Wounded World, Volume 1. What is that central message of your book?
The central message of my book is just to speak a word or two that can bring healing to wounded and hurting hearts. You know, and it has 24 chapters, and each chapter speaks about one word. Take, for instance, the word love, the word reconcile, forgive, hope, trust. Tailor it down to the real hurting situations. And remember, when I'm talking about the wounds in my book, it's not just about physical wounds. I'm not a medical doctor. It's not for that. It's not also only about social wounds that we find in our society today, that we have so much conflict and violence, but also fundamentally about moral and spiritual wounds. Because people are also hurting the impact, or what I call the servitude of sin, a wound to the soul. We know it from the fall, the impact of the fall. And consequently, any time, there was a phrase I used in that book, I see, any time we follow that kind of life or pattern of life that is not consistent with the norm of morality and spirituality, we are causing a friction in the old scar of the old wound of original sin. And it becomes really a big problem. Some people share with you their spiritual struggles. They sometimes say they feel abandoned when they are mired in sin, you know? And they need words that can pull them, because the worst of all the limited situations in the spiritual journey is for somebody to think that his case or her case is hopeless. So I'm speaking to that wound as well. So the book, if you would like, has some kind of internal division. One, addressing the moral and spiritual wounds we face in our pilgrimage journey back to our fatherland, and also the social wounds we face in the society today, where people come up with a lot of things, could be policies, could be relationships, that cause us so much harm.
So your word is a word of hope to
heal. My word, summarily, is a word of hope is a word of grace, is a word of healing.
That is beautiful, Father, and a message all of us, not just the peoples of Africa, need to hear very urgently these days, when every time we open the newspaper or read the news in any of the different media outlets, we tend to think that it's over, that it can't get any worse, but there is hope. And that brings me to my next question, Father. How did you discover that calling to write the book about this specific topic?
You know, many people have asked me this question. How come now? Did you know that these things will happen? I will tell you.
Exactly.
You know, over the years, especially for the past 3 years, I've been getting calls and correspondences, and when I go out to preach and to minister to people, spiritual talks and things like that, during private sessions, people come up with stories of real hurting experiences. And I was like, I felt like some kind of fire within my soul to speak a word, that God was directing me to speak a word or two. So now, when the Eternal Word Television Network asked me for my second teaching series, I felt that this is it. This is the right time to develop this theme that has been consistent for the past 3 years.
Yes.
And you know what? By the time I started to script it, events in the world started to change for worse, if I wouldn't say for better.
Yes.
And by the time I was heading to Africa, this terror, it was like hell was let loose.
Oh my.
It was like happening here, happening there, everywhere. I was like saying, what is going on here?
Oh.
And then I read the words of Pope Francis, series of messages and homilies and writings, and I'm pointing to different aspects of our wounded world today. I said, wow, what other confirmation do I need?
Yes.
So
yes,
that's just the background. That's what inspired me. And I thank God that I listened.
And so do we, Father. This is Register Radio, and our guest today is Father Maurice Emelu, a Catholic priest and journalist as well from the Diocese of Nigeria. And we are talking about the power of the word to heal the wounded world. Now, we know, Father Maurice, that your book also inspired a television series here on EWTN Television. I think you are the first African to host a series.
Yeah, actually, I'm the first African to host a series on the network, and by the grace of God, to the first African to be granted permission to produce as many programs for the network. So, a humbling experience for me.
Well, congratulations, and praise God that we have you showing us that desire for hope and showing us the witness of the peoples from Africa. Why should our EWTN audience tune in?
If anybody feels that he or she has not been wounded, or the relatives have not been wounded, or that the world has not been wounded, then the show is not meant for that person. Otherwise, I think all of us are called to listen.
That would be me too. Father, I'm very curious to learn the role of the family relationships in Nigeria and in Africa, if they are similar or different than our concept of family relationships here in the United States. And in the short time that we have here, about a minute left, but can you share with us one of those stories of your pastoral care with the people of Nigeria?
Sure. With some people who flew with me from the United States to go down to Africa, they saw in just very brief moments the clear distinction. The family is the same. Christian family is the same, especially Catholic Christian family between the man and the woman and the children. But then, in Africa, the family is more like communitarian.
Mm.
In the West, especially in North America, it's like me, my wife, and my children. But in Africa, it is me, my wife, my children, and the entire family, the large extended family.
Ah, we have a saying that says it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes, and you know what? In Africa, the child is not a child, does not belong exclusively to the parents. The child belongs to the village. So the training of the child is a collective responsibility of the entire extended village or family. That in itself is different. You can see children moving from one home to the other, not accompanied by anybody, because the child is the child of everybody.
Mm.
And that's why things like abortion can never find its way in African society, in spite of all the politics that is going on. Because the child is the most sacred of all. And it is a community pride. Your community will say, we can take care of the baby.
That is beautiful. What great example we can all follow. And a last question, I feel forced to fit into the interview, Father. We're just running out of time. But I know you're very bold, and you have extended an invitation to Pope Francis to visit Africa. What is the update on that? Do tell, please.
I'm waiting.
Ah, well, we are too.
Prayerfully waiting.
Prayerfully.
We need the Pope in Africa to come to us and speak that consoling word, that healing word, I am with you, my children. In spite of what's going on in your continent, the church is behind you. We are praying for you. We love you, and we're there for you.
How beautiful. Well, we join you in those prayers, all of our listeners here on Register Radio. Father, before we go, can we get your priestly blessing, please?
May Almighty God bless all of us. Bless you listening to this interview, and bless all those behind the scene. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Grace and peace to you all.
Amen. Father Maurice Emelu, a Catholic priest and journalist from the Diocese of Nigeria, talking to us about the power of the Word to heal the wounded world. And one of the new EWTN series this September is Word for a Wounded World with Father Maurice Emelu. Mondays at 11 p.m. Eastern, starting this September, talking about the power of Scripture and tradition to heal the wounded people of Africa. You'll be surprised to find out how much Scripture and tradition can also heal you. That's Word for a Wounded World on EWTN Television, Mondays at 11 p.m. Eastern. More information on EWTN.com. Thank you so much, Father. God be with you in all of your missions.
Thank you, Elena.
By the way, Father Maurice's book, Word for a Wounded World, is now available from the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNReligiousCatalog.com, and from Father's own website, GraziaVobisMinistries.org. Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for that picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.